Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard the Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 301 shows and counting. And we're going to keep going because we're not going to stop. We will not remain silent until justice is served for all these animals in need and distress. I'm just going to go over a couple things this evening before I get the show started. The representative in Emily Slosberg was supposed to be on this evening, but she's in session and it ran over. So I've had Jennifer Kennedy from the Anti-Chain Division, director from the Anti-Dogfighting Campaign Worldwide Organization, to come in and replace her this evening. I'm trying to reschedule Representative Emily Slosberg for the 18th of this month, and we're going to see how it goes. For Dillon's dog chaining law, a House Bill 177 and Senate Bill 650. So it's tethering of domestic dogs and cats, provides requirements for tethering domestic dogs and cats, provides penalties, provides for enforcement. And just over a couple things, this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online, Marty Oakley. And want to give her a big shout out and thank her and her website for promoting Voices Carry for Animals every Thursday on the website. You can also share from that website, listen live here. If you go to the right-hand column in the search engine, you could search Voices Carry for Animals. And there, all these shows are recorded live every Thursday and archived on there. And you just press whatever link you want to listen to, wait a minute for it to download, and it will play. And also at the bottom of each article, there is social media icons where you could share to Facebook, Twitter, email, Pinterest, LinkedIn. I mean, just a bunch of them, to help get the word out and to help, you know, bring these shows and make them escalate and explode and go through the roof for the animals, because they so well deserve it. But my name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Voices Carry for Animals. It's live and recorded every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. You can always go back to these shows, listen in worldwide. You could use Skype, and I'm going to give a number here. If anybody wants to call in later and have any comments or questions for Jennifer and for Dillon's dog chaining law, it's area code 310-982-4270. And press 1, you'll be in the queue, and try to refrain from any noises in the background. our radios, TVs, conversations. You're more welcome to come on board. So we're going to have another great show this evening, everyone. And I want to really thank Jennifer for, replacing Representative Emily Slosberg. And I'm looking forward to having her on this show. And I totally understand, because we can always work things out to have her on. But this show tonight is going to be about the sad story, but we want to, try to bring something to help, be a part of the solutions, not the ongoing problems. But Dylan's dog chaining law, this is to honor Dylan Andrews at a state level. In 2012, a 17-month-old Jacksonville boy, Dylan Andrews, was attacked and killed by his neighbor's chained dog. Following the attack, a League of Human Voters legislative rep, Renee Rivard, with the Andrews family, helped pass a dog chaining law for Duval County. There are 19 Florida counties that have attended tethering ordinances. These ordinances protect almost 65% of Florida residents and their pets. And I'm going to be bringing Jennifer on and welcome her back. She has been a guest on this show several times and always invited back. Jennifer, welcome back to Voices Care for Animals. And she's the Anti-Chain Division Director from the Anti-Dog Fighting Campaign Worldwide Organization. And they are on Facebook if you'd like to check them out. But how are you doing this evening, Jennifer? And thank you for, at the last, it wasn't Representative Emily Slosberg's fault, but thanks for filling in for it, because I didn't want to cancel the show because this bill is so hot, out there in Florida. And we need everybody's support out there to help make it happen, make a victory. That's what our goals are, because our dogs out there in distress, they don't have a voice. We do. So please use it wisely and stand up and speak out for them. But go ahead, Jennifer. And you're a lifesaver, okay? And thank you so much.
Well, good evening, Debbie. Yes, it is an absolute honor and pleasure, like always, to be here on your podcast segment. Yes. So thank you so much for all that you do and getting the word out there and raising awareness for all of our voiceless, beautiful animals that need our help and attention. So, yes, I'm definitely I'm bummed that the Representative Slosberg could not be here this evening. I definitely can't take her place. I'm definitely excited. Have excellent, amazing news to share in regards to Dylan's dog training law. Yesterday was our first committee meeting in the Senate in the Agricultural Committee. And I have to say, following the tethering issue and so often advocates that are pushing for this type of law across the country, what I have seen so often where these bills get stuck very frequently in the Agricultural Committee because it is surrounding animal issues, and often, you're dealing with people concerned about that it might affect their livelihood in the agricultural and their livestock, things like that. We do have, obviously, ranchers, farmers that utilize their dogs for a lot of activities and jobs, on their properties and in their business. So, it's understandable. I mean, dogs are amazing animals to do these type of wonderful jobs. They're so intelligent, but unfortunately, often because of these concerns, these bills do get stuck in the Agricultural Committee. But yesterday in the committee, we had a unanimous victory in support of Dylan's attended tethering. That's what makes this Dylan's dog chaining law so wonderful, is that it is attended tethering. And with the research that we've put in, huge kudos go out to Renee Rivard of the League of Humane Voters. She is an incredible, credible woman, just a powerhouse of relentless energy and passion. And she herself was responsible to get, I believe, like 10 counties in Florida to pass an attended tethering ordinance. It has been proven to be the most easily enforced, being that it's a quick visual that law enforcement and or animal control can do can make, because time tethering it takes so much more manpower and really is often very unrealistic in regards to enforcement. I mean, I'm calling from California, and our state statute is a maximum of 3 hours a dog can be on a single stationary tether, and it frequently cannot be enforced. Most officers are not going to take the time to stake out somebody's home or yard to monitor for 3 hours to make sure an infraction has occurred on this type of law. So with attended tethering, it's something that you can just visually look, and if the person has to be with the dog, and that makes all the difference, so the officers don't have to be sitting out there for a long, long, long period of time. So the language to our bill, to this bill, is the main language is, let's see here, the tethering of domestic dogs and cats. You know what? I scrolled down. It says, you know, my notes here.
That's all right.
I'm all
take
confused
your time.
With my notes. Yes, the main language is a person may not tether a domestic dog or domestic cat unless the person is physically present with and attending to the dog or cat, and the dog or cat remains visible to the person at all times while tethered. So that is the critical point, is somebody being present with the dog, because in the case of Dylan, this March 9th, it would have been 9 years since we lost little Dylan. And this tragedy, and we really want this bill to help avoid any more tragedies of this nature, because one thing that we discussed with a lot of the legislators while lobbying is that the fact that in the last 10 years, there have been over 40 very serious chain dogs attacks in Florida, 4 of them were fatal, and all 4 were children. All 4 were children.
Oh, my goodness.
So the issue is, in 3 out of the 4 deaths, 75% of these cases, there was no able-bodied person present to intervene. And that's where the problem lies. And In some of the material also that we used was from a rescue called Vocal, located in Leon County, and a lot of the material that they shared with us. Angie Wyke started the rescue up there, and a lot of the material in the cases that she shared with us, just horrific graphic material, where dogs have strangulated, you know, hung themselves. And again, it goes back to nobody was there to intervene. And what often occurs too, and many of the rescue advocates can agree with this statement, is that so often with tethering, If you have a dog, particularly if they're with a single point tether, or what often happens with the overhead runners and cables, which unfortunately is an often fallback to a single point tether, is you basically have a trolley or little runner between two trees, is that you get the dogs wrapping these fine thin cables around and around and around their limbs. I recently saw a case, it wasn't in Florida, it was another state, but this 6-month-old German Shepherd pup was all just tightly tangled in this cable where his limbs were slowly, I mean, he was on the verge of severing his limbs. And so what I always think is, you know, this type of situation, you know, it does not happen overnight. And so what long-term tethering as a means of canine husbandry or maintaining or keeping a dog in that manner, it promotes chronic neglect. And I know often, unfortunately, these cases often go overlooked by a lot of lawmakers, being that a lot of it's habit, you know, that needs to be changed, way of thinking on how to keep dogs, because often people think of animal cruelty as a direct act of maybe violence or, you know, against an animal, whereas neglect is usually a slower process. It's a slower process, and people don't always think about it until it's already gotten so bad, and so the animal's so far gone. You know, unfortunately, with a lot of these dogs, death is the only mercy that they end up finding. If someone doesn't find them in time, it's a slow torture. It's a slow torture. You know, this means of keeping a dog. And so often these things happen. It's like, well, if this was happening to the dog, I mean, who is feeding the dog? Who is watering the dog? And often, you know, someone can leave their dog on a tether first thing in the morning. They, you know, check their water, you know, on a hot day. But it could be, you know, in minutes, a dog can get themselves tangled around a tree, around a pole, or over their dog house. And then they can't reach their water, or frequently their water gets knocked over. So this dog could be in the blistering hot sun, and shade moves, so the dog is not able to escape the moving sun across the sky. So they're in the blistering heat, and you see the heat exhaustion, and dogs dying from direct sun because they're restrained. They can't move. They can't make that choice. And one thing I think about, too, is often is, you know, with dogs, when they're on a tether, they're out of sight, out of mind. You know, any of us that have dogs that live with us in our homes, we know full well that they very well make themselves known when they need either attention or food, or you know, or water. I mean, generally mine don't even get to that point. I mean, I make sure they're fed, you know, they're fed and everything. But a dog tethered cannot even approach their guardian to alert them that they have a need or they're in distress. They can't come up and, you know, scratch your leg or put, you know, or get your attention because they're restrained. And frequently dogs on tethers, people get used to the barking, so they tune it out. So often even the dog barking can't warrant the attention that is needed to give them what they need. So it really puts you know, dogs in a very bad way. And then with Dylan, the fact that studies have been made, even by the CDC, have found that the tethered dogs are some of even 3 to 5 times more likely to bite, because they go stir crazy. They're stuck in one spot, and some of these dogs their entire lives. Especially, it breaks my heart. Particularly, you see dogs that have been their whole life on a tether, and they're 13, 14, 15 years old.
Oh,
and to think about
terrible.
Being in that condition for that long, and the utter boredom, the absolute boredom that generally subjected, it was considered cruel to prisoners, like putting a prisoner in solitary confinement, is like one of the most inhumane things that can be done to a human, to have no stimuli, you know, nothing, no way to interact with any other, you know, any other living creature. And a lot of times that's what ends up happening. And I don't know why it is, but people, probably because they don't want to hear the dog barking, but so often you see these cases, these situations where these dogs are staked out, like in the middle of a field, like the house is here and here is the dog, like way over there. And that's basically solitary confinement. So
yes, it is.
It's a very inhumane way to treat a brilliantly sociable creature, as smart as the canines are, and everything that they do, and the training, the amazing training that dogs can acquire, and the incredible things that they do to interact with humans and help us in so many ways. To see a dog subjected to that type of lonely solitude is just, it's torment. To me, I think that's one of the worst things I feel, as brilliant as canines are, that they can be subjected to is solitude. I think even more so than battling extreme elements is that, you know, no interaction. And so there's that. But, you know, it's just a no-brainer to me. With all the studies that have been made, and over 20 years ago, the federal USDA deemed long-term tethering and husbandry of canines in this way inhumane over 20 years ago. By, you know, this is on a federal standard, while they enforce the Animal Welfare Act, have deemed it cruel. So I still haven't been able to wrap my brain around why we have to fight so hard, you know, city by city, county by county. And luckily with Dylan's dog chaining law, here we're going for a statewide statute, which is absolutely fabulous, because we really hope, we see this law as a wedge in, as a template, as a catalyst to hopefully provide a way of more states to be able to follow suit. Just like, because I know we talked about some other laws, that some wonderful laws that are being introduced, because we're mainly talking about Florida, is that we discussed another wonderful bill, HB 45, with its companion bill SB 1138, sponsored by Representative Sam Killebrew, to ban the retail sale of dogs and cats. I have some information here that was shared with me that, I guess, 70 local governments have passed local bans on this. And I actually personally lobbied at our state capitol here in Sacramento for the first statewide law of this nature. I believe it was 2018, and supported that. That of the passing of that bill, and since then there's been several other states that have passed this, because this is helping to crack down on puppy mill issues. So, you know, if we can keep the flow of these puppy mill dogs from coming into the state and being sold in pet stores, the cool thing about this bill is that it's definitely a win-win, because you're cutting out the supply and demand for the puppy for pet stores, and at the same time, I know our state bill, instead of dogs being sold and imported in from puppy mills, that shelter dogs must be sold instead. So as most of us advocates know, our shelters seem to always be overflowing with dogs that need homes. And so it's definitely a win-win. So you're stopping a lot of the greedy industry of puppy mill dogs coming in, and at the same time you're providing a new future, a new home, a living home for these animals that need it. So that's another wonderful bill. So I'm not sure how many Florida people are listening. I tried to encourage a lot of Florida connections and advocates that I've met along this journey to please call, try to follow these bills and support. It's so important for people to reach out. I know it's not very exciting. It's not dramatic to make a phone call to your representatives, but as a constituent, that's what often is one of the few things that motivate, our lawmakers is hearing from people that are in their district, in their area. And if we never contact them, how are they going to know what we want as animal warriors and fighting for the animals?
That's
right. They're not going to know how we feel about things. So it's so critical. So I encourage anyone that has an interest in this issue in particular, or just, animal issues as well. But as far as with Dylan's bill, we encourage people to follow our Facebook page. We're always putting out action alerts if we're needed, because we did have an amendment that happened kind of at the 11th hour, so to speak, right before the Senate committee yesterday, that was kind of a blanket statement, and the language was put in to exempt hunting dogs. And I've seen, unfortunately, too often, certain types of hunting can be very, very gruesome, very bloody, kind of more of a blood sport. Unfortunately, a lot of times these dogs can get injured in that particular type of hunting. So, unfortunately, some sportsmen choose to keep their dogs on a chain, and I've seen too many cases where they're neglected, they're skinny, they're kept on these chains because since they're used for dangerous type of hunting work, excuse me, that they're a little more expendable, unfortunately. But then, yes, there are hunters that they put a lot of funds into getting very, purebred dogs, spend a lot of funding on high-quality training when they go out hunting, and many of them live in the house with them as well. So we were hoping that before the vote yesterday that this amendment could be redacted and removed. But what has happened is that between the senator that presented the amendment and our Senate sponsor, Senator Tadeo, it sounds like we're going to work together to this just happened, so we're discussing the best way to turn the amendment to where it will only involve the language will state that when the dogs are actively working. We did have that language in there, but the senator that presented the amendment was stating that he feels there needs to be a few more specifics in what type of activities. So in addition to just actively hunting, it sounds like he would like to discuss particular hunting dog training. So when dogs are in training and if they have to be on tethers and such, that it wouldn't be problematic when they're in the middle of training and things like that. And that's perfectly fine, because what we are aiming for is the long-term keeping and maintaining of dogs, so that they're not just placed on tethers and then people walk away and then that's the way they live the majority of their lives. So that's our main goal. And so I'm kind of sort of across the board here. So that's what we're striving for. But just the fact that we passed unanimously in the Agricultural Committee is tremendous, tremendous.
That's
so
awesome.
We're really over the moon with this victory. And we have a few more committees to go. And as far as the House committee, we have we're really still encouraging advocates to call, and it's on our page. There's an email blast going out to contact the members on the Civil Justice and Property Rights Subcommittee. We're really encouraging. We're trying to encourage the chairperson, Representative Wyman Duggan, introduced, because the scary thing is that if in any committee, if the bill is not introduced for a vote, the bill can die. And all the work, all the blood, sweat, and tears, literally, that have gone into, advocating, pushing this forward, is basically dead in the water. So that's why it's so critical that people reach out to the committee members and ask them, please, please introduce the bill so it can be voted on. Because
yes,
it's especially tragic if the bill's never, not even presented for a vote, to not even be given the chance for members to voice their opinion. So we still have that one. We still have the Civil Justice and Property Rights Committee, and then in the House, and then also in the House, the Judiciary Committee. And then for the Senate, we just were in the Agriculture. That was the first. And then next we in the Senate, next is Community Affairs and then Rules. So, so we have a ways to go. We've gone over the hurdle, but we have, I think, the biggest hurdle. But we have a little ways to go. So it sounds like we have a caller. I do believe it's the wonderful Debbie Durino. So
yes,
if you would
I
like to let
so.
Her in, I would love for her to share what she has going, because she has an amazing bill also that's super important that I would like to her to add to this, because it goes beautifully with our attended tethering bill. So if you don't mind,
yes,
Debbie, to
I
let
don't
Debbie
mind
on.
At all. And thanks for calling Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. Debbie Durino, thank you for calling in. A former guest, creator of Pounce's Law. She's a total rock star like Jennifer.
Yeah.
And when you put us Debbies together, we're double trouble. So I'm just warning the audience.
Uh-oh!
Hi, Deb. How you doing?
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Jennifer. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Debbie.
Good.
We're
how
doing great. How are you?
Oh, doing great, too. Just busy, busy, busy.
Never a dull moment.
Yeah,
thanks for
goes.
All you do, Debbie and Jennifer.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you.
You two are rock stars out there. You know that, right? I mean, you're just out there relentless and fighting and
she
getting
is.
Things done.
Thank
you're not
God.
Playing around.
She means business.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, we're real excited to get these bills, Jennifer's bill out there, and the bills that I'm doing out there, and watching them as they go into committees and eventually get voted on. And it's a very exciting time. It's a great
yes.
time for the animals because we're, you know, we're doing all we can to protect them
yes.
from people, unfortunately. But
uh-huh.
that's the way the world is going. So excited to see Jennifer's pass through its first committee. I think that's,
yes.
that's just awesome. It's very exciting to see.
Yes.
And we'll see how it goes with the rest. We're so early in the session. You know, we're only like day two or three into it. So we got a little ways to go. But, you know, I'm following her bill also, watching as it, you know, gets hooked into the committees and following mine, waiting for it to get on some of the agendas. It's in some of the committees already, you know, but it's been referenced to them. So I'm just waiting for those to be heard also, and we'll see how it goes. So.
Yes, yes, it's very exciting. Do you mind reminding or telling everyone, Debbie, what yours covers? I'm super stoked
yeah.
about yours as well, because like I said, they go hand in hand and are so important.
Right. Well, the one bill that I have is an amendment to Florida Statute 828.13, which is your definitions. Currently, there's no definition for adequate shelter, which in essence is your doghouse in layman terms. And so I've got one out there for that. That's going to be what the requirements are for your dog when they're
Excellent.
Outside. No more of these makeshift type what you think a dog should be sitting in. There's going to be a requirement that they're protected, and they're protected from the heat, the cold, the rain, the snow, the sleet, the hail, you know, every imaginable
awesome.
Part of the weather. And
yeah.
it has to be big enough that the animal can sit, stand, turn around, lay down, stretch out. It has to be big enough for them to be able to do that according to their size and their breed.
Excellent.
There has to be proper ventilation. There has to be where, you know, their feet don't drop below the grid so that their little toes get injured and their paws get injured that way.
Mm-hmm.
No more of these wire type cages. You know, they have to be able to be protected from the elements of the weather. And
yeah.
here in Florida, there's only two kinds of weather. It's either raining or it's hot.
yeah.
So, it has to protect from either one of those elements. And then, of course, you know, the rain is a big deal, too. So
right.
that's one part of the bill. And the other part is I'm doing an amendment to the misdemeanor statute, which is 828.12. It is currently it talks about killing an animal, but it doesn't really – decipher how or what. And so what I did is I just clarified, moved some language around to make it real clear what the difference is between a misdemeanor killing of an animal and an intentional killing of an animal. So the misdemeanor killing an animal would be an unnecessary killing. The felony side, which is Ponce's law already, is intentionally killing an animal. So it'll
right.
make it a little bit easier for the prosecutors to prosecute these cases a little better. There was a case up in Columbia County where a guy got upset that the neighbor's dog had run into his yard and was chasing his chickens or something, just doing what a puppy does, and ran back in his own yard and was minding his own business. Well, that guy went inside the house, got a gun, went over to his neighbor's yard, so right there you're trespassing with a gun, and shot this dog in the butt and then in the head.
Mm.
A horrible thing. This is the family's dog. This one-year-old
Whoa.
Little dog.
Terrible.
Well, the prosecutor charged him with a misdemeanor instead of a felony. Well, when he went in his house to get the gun, there's his intent right there. His intent was to get the gun and kill the dog.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't going to charge him with the felony. They wanted to charge him with the misdemeanor because the misdemeanor statute said if you kill an animal. And she just wasn't going to budge on it. I mean, I argued till their supervisor came in that this is not a misdemeanor. This is a felony.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure that this never happens again. So that's why I did the amendment so that we can make it real clear. If you unnecessarily kill an animal or if it's an accident, then it's a misdemeanor. If you intentionally kill an animal, it's a felony, period. So that's the intent, and I'm really excited about that, hoping that that really does pass because we have so many cases like this where they're charging under the misdemeanor when it should be a felony and vice versa. So hopefully that will help. We have the Florida Prosecuting Attorneys Association as a supporters, the Florida Police Chief Association, we have HSUS, we have the local shelters, we have the animal law section of the Florida Bar supporting it. one other thing that they did point out with the shelter definition was how that will help them with hoarding cases, because we know a lot of these hoarding cases, they're just stacked up in cages. Well, that will help stop that. So
that's awesome.
If you are going to hoard some animals, you might want to think twice about it because we're going to get you one way or the other. But you can't – these animals have to be kept in safe shelters, weather-resistant shelters.
A question, though, Debbie, is that with and I don't know if you've seen these – a type or like when as far as like with prosecution, because like oftentimes like with hoarding cases, unfortunately, frequently, to my understanding, it often is a mental, you know, compromise. There's a mental compromise, and and does that have an effect on that type of law in its prosecution? Do they have to take consideration?
The hoarders get charged just like anybody else committing a felony or a misdemeanor.
Okay.
That's animal cruelty, number one. And we agree. They all have – there's something wrong with people that do that, but then there's not. Then there's also not. There's people that hoard for different reasons, you know.
Right.
But my answer to that is, the serial killers, there's something wrong with them too, but they still go to jail. So even more so if you're going to abuse an animal and you're going to hoard them like that and treat them so cruelly. These animals are sick. They die.
Yeah.
They're in really bad shape, and you're allowing that, then you've committed animal cruelty and you need to go to jail. You need to be off the street. You can get mental help while you're in jail, and I can tell you that because I did criminal law for many years, and I made sure some of our clients got the help they needed when they had mental issues. That can be set up. They can be treated in jail, and
that's
where they belong. They don't need to be out in society because they'll go back and do the same thing all over again.
And then on those lines,
I hate to sound like I'm not, you know, having sympathy for them. Yes, there's something wrong with them, but they can talk, walk, and move around. The animals have no say so. So we have to protect them.
Right. And then, and kind of on that length or that lines, I saw some information too, I didn't. Wasn't aware about. Sometimes, like, there's so many bills going.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't know about this one. But do you have any other information about SB 96? I'm particularly keen on that, the importance of that subject. I haven't been able to dive in deep and look deep, you know, into this bill, but it looks really good because, you know, that link between animal and human cruelty. Because that's one of the approaches that I take with chaining, dog chaining, is that the long when we allow the torment of a living, breathing, feeling creature habitually out on these chains, and we allow society, we allow our children to witness this suffering, this endless suffering, that's damaging to the psyche. And that's our society saying, it's okay. It's okay to torment a living creature in this manner. And,
well,
you know, they're going to grow up seeing this. So this bill, SB 96, it looks like Senator Book sponsored, where it's a cross-reporting, it looks like. Do you know much about that one?
I don't, not yet. I haven't had a chance to go through all the bills.
Okay.
But
I will say
that when you allow children, to grow up watching this, it becomes the norm for them.
Right.
And so they're going to grow up thinking there's nothing wrong with that. So
mm-hmm.
if we can break that mindset, then that's a
yes.
good thing. We
yes.
don't want them growing up thinking that's okay. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't think of animals as sentient beings like we do. They're not.
Sadly.
They're just an animal.
Right.
Excuse me. And the animal is there to let them know if there's an intruder. They're there to just bark. But do
mm-hmm.
they treat them like part of the family? No, they don't. So that's another thing that we need to teach our children, that the animals,
yes.
they have feelings, you know, and we have to treat them just like we do, you know, any other living being. They deserve to be here. They're here just like we are, and they
right.
have a right to be here. They don't have a right to be mistreated.
Yeah, and that's something that that I've talked about with other advocates, which would be so awesome if there was some way to do more, you know, educating programs. Tamara Thain, she purchased back quite a few years ago. My brain just went with the Michael Vick. She bought the Michael Vick Mansion, and Dogs Deserve Better. She started Dogs Deserve Better, you know, back in the day, and
yeah.
And yeah, great advocacy there. And she has a publishing company called Who Changed You Publishing, and it would be so wonderful. She has some really good. She has a great little color book. She's had some another book or two on dog chaining, tethering, directed for children. And I've seen some other books, children's books, addressing the issue. And it would just be so wonderful if there was like a program, or if teachers at maybe some of the lower grade schools could introduce
right.
this type of material. I told Tamara, like, too bad, like, the teachers couldn't, with her color book, you know, copy off some of the pages. Let the children do the coloring while she reads Dandelion's Dream. You know, about the chain dog, that she dreamed of a better life, and let them take home magnets to put on their fridge. You know, please don't chain dogs, or chains are not for dogs, or something, so that the whole family can be included in that educating, to get a different mindset going. And I wish, you know, that it could be part of a curriculum, you know, across the country somehow. It wouldn't have to be elaborate, but something to get them thinking. That this is not a proper way to keep an animal in this manner.
Right.
Whoa.
I don't know how it could ever be done, but that's another avenue that I wish we could go down. But
it's Jennifer and Deb.
Sure.
It's torture for them. I mean, they've had stories out there where, you know, people leave the dogs on the chain tied to a tree or a fence in hurricanes, heavy rains.
Yeah.
Very hot out. I mean, this is terrible. They can't move. You know, there's so many sad situations out there, and we are the voices for
photos.
The animals.
Ugh.
I've seen so many horrific photos. It's so gut wrenching and mind blowing.
Yeah.
It's like
right.
these animals. We all share this earth together temporarily, humans and animals, and none of them get excluded from death. None of us. So we got to make it the best of it. And why sit there and you know, if you see everyone out there listening, if you see an animal in distress or discomfort, report it, please. you're their voice. You know, step
right.
up to the plate and say, hey, enough is enough. This dog's on the chain all day long. You know,
right.
too far away from the food or the water, and the food's got dirt in it. I mean, let's be real. You know, so
yeah.
please, everyone, take that action, you know, and support these bills out there. HB
right.
177 and Senate Bill 650, Florida residents. Make those calls to those legislators and tell them, you know, ask them for their support. And I'll give you the number, area code 202-224-3121. And they're going to ask for your zip code. And then you ask them to speak to your state rep or your senator. And, you know, try to be professional and polite like I always do. You'll get farther. If you call up irate and mad and aggravated, they will kick you to the curb, you know. So please be professional
be
and
diplomatic.
Polite. The what?
Yes, yes, be diplomatic. But yes,
yes,
I mean, as far as with Dylan's bill, I just encourage particularly Florida residents to please follow Dylan's page. We'll keep the action alerts there. And also to with Debbie's definition of shelter, again, so critical. So,
yes.
You know, follow, go to the website. It's not hard to create an account, attach your email, and to do tracking. That way you can get updates on Debbie's bill, the shelter bill, and Dylan's bill, and you can see the process of the committees that they go to next. It lists the members, and then you know who to contact. So when you get alert going out, usually we'll attach their emails and phone numbers. But, you know, we need that backup to
yes.
move these bills forward. It's
That's
super,
right.
super important.
Our voices are so important, aren't they, Jennifer, Debbie? I mean, our actions are so
important.
Important.
And it's easy
law.
To do. It's not
yes,
a hard
it
thing to do. It just takes a few minutes. Especially when
that's
we have
it.
Alerts together, that's a few clicks. That's all it takes.
And
right.
then reference
really,
everyone.
Like, hearing
yeah,
from,
look up Pounce's
know,
Law.
Situation.
You know,
yeah.
look Google it. You know, get on. It's on Facebook with Debbie. She is a admin and taking care of business. And even on the Alley's Law, I've had, you know, guests on here,
yes.
Representative Dan Bailey and Senator Pizzo. Jason
yes.
Pizzo, and
yes.
so there's several hot bills out there that are moving in legislation, everyone. So please be a part of that. You know, write those emails or letters, you
yes.
know, phone calls, whatever
Alley's
it
Law,
takes.
Right, and
yeah.
Alley's Law is HB 47 companion bill SB 216. So that's another good one. Where is
yes.
mandatory veterinary reporting for animal cruelty. So that's another
yeah,
good bill.
Important.
So,
yeah,
support
Hine,
that one too.
Yeah, Dave Hine was the creator, and he passed away last November, everyone. So
yes.
it just keep going in his memory. And Allie, I know she misses him.
She's
so,
so
much.
Cute.
Yes. It brought tears to my eyes because I've had him on here
yes.
as a guest.
You
know,
I know. I've talked
so,
to him.
And I had talked
I've
to him.
I met Dave when he first started this bill 2 years
yes.
ago. You know, last had long talks about it. It was shocking.
It
yeah.
was shocking.
To hear this.
Rest
I
in
know.
Peace, Dave.
Certain,
we don't forget you or Allie
yeah,
or
certain,
your family.
I'm certain Allie's law is going to pass this time.
I hope
we
so, Deb. I hope so.
Right.
I hope they all do. We could do a big victory
oh.
happy dance.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, there's
man.
A lot of stuff happening. A lot of bill animal
I know
bills
it's happening. It's on track. It's
yeah.
it's rocking and rolling, isn't it, or something? So
well,
if you,
I know.
Yes.
And I have to say, as tragic as the issue with COVID that we've been having, I honestly have
yes.
to say, in a way, it's kind of put us in a position to where people long distance. Are more readily, I believe, I feel welcomed in the lobbying process, and they're more open, I feel, to hear from
from people anywhere that, because, I mean, I'm located in California, and I push for bills all across the country. So with Zoom and phone meetings, it's they're not. I don't think they're looking for as much in-person lobbying. So I think it's really opened the door to include more people that are pushing for a particular cause. Sounds like you have a call there, Debbie. We have a few minutes.
Yes. And Debbie Durano, please stay on air. Area code 912. You're live and on the air. You have any questions for Jennifer? Go right ahead. I think I just lost them. If the caller, if you got disconnected somehow, please call back if you can hear me. Area code 912. You're more welcome to call in. Or if anybody else is, we're down to like less than 5 minutes of the show. But please, if you want to call in, 310-982-4270, press 1. Be a part of the solutions. And not the ongoing problems. Let's be, you know, we are the animal protectors and saviors and animal rights activists and everything. A big shout out to all of you who are fighting for them. Because the children, the animals, and the elderly, they don't have a voice. They're defenseless, helpless, voiceless, and innocent. So we have to speak out for them. Okay, here comes a caller again. Down to 4 minutes. Thank you for calling Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carried for Animals. You have any questions or comments for the guests, please? Go right ahead. You're live.
Hi, Debbie. This is Dave Fashingbauer calling. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you doing, Dave?
Hey, Dave.
Thanks for calling in. Yes. Representative Emily Slosberg couldn't show up, or she had to. She's in session. But go right ahead.
Well, I'm sorry I'm so late to the party. I was just going to mention, I got a little late to the podcast, but, you know, there. I don't know if you've talked about the it's HB 45, the bill that will ban the sale of good. I worked on the tethering law up here in Nassau County, and I also worked in the banning the pet retails sales up here in Nassau, and both of them are now ordinances up here. So I just want to make sure you mention that, because I think that's really important one as well.
Yeah. No, it's awesome.
It
yeah, Dave did an awesome job over there. Although, hopefully, I totally forgot. I have this poem for Dylan. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Dave. No, David did an amazing job in Nassau. Should I read this poem that I made for Dylan really quick? Because for the anniversary.
You know what, Jennifer? We're down to a couple minutes, and we're not going to have time, and I'm sorry.
Okay,
it's
bummer.
On the PPJ Gazette if anybody wants to visit it, or I'll post it on my page. But it is an awesome poem for Dylan. And may he rest in peace, gone but will never be forgotten.
Calm, I would have been 10.
Dave, we are down a couple minutes here. This hour goes so fast, it's unbelievable. Thank you, Dave, for calling in.
Thank you, Dave.
And he's a former guest for Dylan's Dog Chaining Law. Thank you, Debbie Durano.
Thank you
for calling in.
Keep up the great work
you're doing. Well, us Debbies are double trouble out there, okay? So,
yeah.
She's a great team player and a great speaker for the animals. So is Jennifer. We got some rock stars on here tonight, everyone. So
thanks, everyone.
But thanks for everybody tuning in. And hope you join next week, Voices Care for Animals, number 302, with Jennifer Skiff, Animal Wellness Action. I got two Jennifers right in the row. Is that something? And we want to welcome her aboard, her first time. So 7 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide, everyone. All these shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. You can reach them by Blog Talk Radio or the PPJ Gazette. Just search Voices Carry for Animals. This show, we stand up for all animals in need and distress. If you'd like to be a guest on my show, email me at voicescarryforanimals@aol.com. Give me a small bio, any Facebook pages or groups, petitions, websites, and you're more than welcome to come on board. because the more of us active action takers, the better it is for the animals and the faster the changes will be made. Silence only brings more violence. So please, everyone, do your part. Speak out, take action, and watch these victories come in, because that's what we're going to do. If all these laws for the animals pass this year, we're going to do the happy victory dance, aren't we, Debbie and Jennifer and Dave? We're going to
absolutely
be yelling so loud and dancing.
More victory.
We're
yes
going to do it, everyone. But everyone
yes
have a great
yes
evening and a peaceful one. And may God bless
okay
you all. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank
good
you,
night,
everyone.
Everyone.
Thanks so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
bye
you, Jennifer, for stepping in for Representative Emily Sosberg.